Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee and Anna Mae, a podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ, provoke you to find your calling in the Lord, brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on a journey to reaching the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. So sit back, we hope you enjoy the podcast, and we pray it encourages and blesses you.
Welcome to Crosstalk. Tonight we're still in our series, How We Got Here, and tonight we're happy to have Ike Williamson with us. Welcome, Ike.
Thanks for coming, Ike.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
And we're happy to have you tonight, and Bill's going to start with the first question.
Okay, Ike. Where and when did you get saved?
I got saved in Denver in June of 1979.
Amen.
But it was kind of interesting when I look back. Sometimes we've got to look back to see where God took us from.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a little town in Wyoming. Joni was expecting my Ike, and she got real sick, and she almost lost the baby. And there was this old country doctor that really just God, you know, and saved it. And so I had to get to a larger town. And I was only maybe 150 miles from Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pondering whether to go to Salt Lake or to go to Denver, but something told me to go to Denver.
Amen.
And when I went to Denver, I flew her and her mom into Denver, and then I pulled my trailer in there. And when I pulled on the camp in Denver, Bobby and Nancy Watson was there. Mm-hmm. And they invited us to church. And that's when I got saved.
Amen.
It's always good to land in a camp with Bobby and Nancy. That's always a good thing. Yes, that was good.
And that summer, Bobby and I worked together the whole summer, and he discipled me.
That was good.
Amen.
That was good.
Praise God.
So, do you remember the first person you witnessed to or brought to the Lord?
You know, I really don't remember the first one, but the one that probably stands out the most was a Mormon man.
Uh-huh.
That was a security guard at an apartment that my mother and grandfather were staying in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And he would come in and have coffee with my grandfather every night, and they'd sit and crack, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I came in one night, and I started sharing the Lord with him, and he told me he was Mormon. And anyway, he accepted Christ, and he said to me, should I not go to the Mormon church? Because my wife loves the Mormon church. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I'm going to say this to you. Go back to the Mormon church now that you're born again and see if you feel the same way.
That was good. And
so I saw him a couple of weeks later. I said, did you go back to the church? He said, I couldn't wait to get out of the church.
That was good. That was good.
Amen. That was good.
That was good.
So, let me ask you this. How did you get, like, into the ministry or feel called to serve God, Ike?
I never was, anyone who really knows me, I never was a person that, I was kind of ladged all the time. You know, I wasn't really, public speaking was, forget it, you know. I was kind of a private person, kind of quiet, but crazy, okay? And, you know, I don't think we determine our calling in ministry. I think we discover it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we don't find. It's something that finds us.
Mm-hmm.
And I began, I got involved in a couple of different churches. Every church I went to, I tried to serve somehow, some way.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to get involved in church. And I think probably the first thing, public speaking, I think it was the pastor asked me to get up and open in prayer, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would do the transition between worship and the offering, a transition prayer and all that kind of stuff. And that's how it kind of started. And then mm-hmm. I was asked to do a meeting, do a service, and I did a service.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of went from there. So that church that I was involved in, I left that summer and I went to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
This was in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
And the town was packed.
I remember that summer.
And I had meetings there all summer, you know. And Kai was there, Tissy was there. I mean, just who did you say? Oh, Alec McDonald was there. That's just a lot of people.
In Denver, was it?
In Denver, yeah.
Was that when they had them two out at the park? You remember everyone went out to a park all that summer?
I think that was before. Yeah, that may have been that summer.
Do you remember?
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Thomas first memory.
Yes. Yeah. So that was really my start in ministry, and then it just kind of evolved from there. Amen. To just about every aspect of ministry that you could think of.
Amen.
I heard a minister on the TV last week say something. You said you just wanted to be available. You yes. just wanted to do whatever.
Right.
And he said if you're too big to do the little things, you're too little to do the big things.
That is true. That is true.
And it struck a chord with me. I've been thinking about it all week because there seems to be a common thread with anybody that God used.
Yeah.
They started out moving chairs or whatever.
Whatever needed to be
whatever,
done.
Whatever, yeah.
You just wanted to serve.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, Christ is a servant. He said Amen. He was a servant.
That's right.
It is only the nature of Christ in us to serve mm-hmm. others. And that's really what ministry is. It's serving other people.
Amen. It is.
You know, in my understanding and revelation of ministry, pastors should never be the pinnacle. Mm-hmm. They should always be the foundation.
That's good.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Amen. Yeah,
100%.
That's good. That's good.
Amen.
Well, I know Uncle Bill and you had done outreaches through the years, and do you want to talk about some of that stuff?
Yeah, we did. I preached with Bill.
You can do that.
And yeah, I preached with, had one winter, Michael Newlands and me. We ministered a whole winter. We used to have meetings down at a Quality Inn on Van Buren where you get your throat cut now.
Yeah.
But, your dad used to come all the time. He was at all the meetings, you know, mm-hmm. never missed one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, actually, Bill, you started the church over there over off of Maine. What was it, Maine and...
University. Over off
University in
the wee tiny one with the
country club.
Collar.
That's right.
Had a lot of fun there.
Then ministered one whole winter. The winter we had the winter of the Vegas revival and the Phoenix revival and the LA revival.
Mm.
That whole winter, me and John Trail ministered here,
mm-hmm.
and so mm-hmm. yeah. A lot of ministry down through the years.
Better believe it. Praise God.
Talk a little bit about the 70s, Ike. What do you remember some
probably,
stuff in the 70s?
Probably, I would say, more times than not. Now, I've been in churches where there's been tremendous moves of the Spirit, and you can just, the presence of God was so manifest that you felt mm-hmm. like you could really reach out and touch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. It permeated everything in the room. Mm-hmm. And I've been in services like that since then, mm-hmm. but I don't believe I've ever been in a time that we experienced in the 70s. And maybe because we was young in the Lord and we were just starting out, and
right.
and you know everything was just we were just in awe of God.
Mm-hmm.
And there was wee church in Sylmar that I used to go to, and I'll never forget him. His name Pastor Omar. Mm-hmm. And Ormore was about 4 foot nothing. But the anointing on his life was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him get up one morning, and it was metal chairs in the room. And people were worshiping. And I kind of deked up at him. Everybody's eyes is closed. And he just waved his hand. And when he waved his hand, everybody started falling out under the power.
Mm-hmm.
And you could hear chairs crashing. Mm-hmm. And nobody got hurt. You know, it was kind of a normal thing.
Yeah.
We expected to see a move of God every time we went in church.
That's the thing. We expected it.
Yeah, and we didn't want to miss church because we was afraid we were going to miss something.
Amen.
That's it, because that's how it was.
So every time the doors were open, we were there.
And it wasn't just our people that was experiencing this. It was all the country people.
It was a move of God worldwide.
Remember I found it, the bumper stickers?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It was an incredible time.
Sure. Well, that was towards the middle. You came in a little earlier. You came in around, 76, somewhere
that's
in there?
You're 79. Yeah.
That was middle 70s, and that was the Jesus movement was still really, really blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
And But the pinnacle of that was the early 70s. But that particular period of time, there was a move of God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about worldwide because I didn't travel worldwide, but there was a move of God in this nation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was unprecedented.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I really believe it was the last true revival we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Was the Jesus revival.
Mm-hmm. There was even Christian bookstores on every corner. Now
every corner.
I have to order stuff online.
Yeah.
There's no Christian bookstores.
I was just thinking something he said when the man like stretched out his hand and everybody was falling, and that was the norm. It was the norm to see people falling out under the spirit constantly.
Constantly.
We used to see that constantly. You don't see that anymore.
Don't see it anymore.
But that was the norm. I wrote that down. It was the norm to see that.
Omar's church didn't have catchers, and it was a hardwood floor.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it was the real deal,
I said, Pastor Omar, why don't you have catchers? He said, if it's God, you're not going to get hurt.
That's it.
Amen.
That's the real deal. You're not going to go down there and fake nothing.
That's right.
There's nobody to
catch
you.
That's the truth.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. That was good.
Well, the Lord said something when he sent them in the upper room. He said, be in one accord.
Yes.
And the power fell in the miracles and the signs and wonders begin.
Yeah, right.
And he tells us, be in one accord if you want that stuff. Back when we got involved in all of that, we didn't have no religious teachings.
No, we didn't.
It was all ignorant. The only thing we found out,
we was hungry.
Jesus died because he loved us.
That's right.
We was hungry.
To give you an idea of the power of
ignorance
unity.
Ignorance was a blessing.
You're talking about the power of unity.
Right.
At the Tower of Babel,
God said
that I have to confound their language. Because they're in one accord, nothing is impossible to them.
Chills.
Now, these are pagans. Now, take that to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And what could the body of Christ do if we ever got in one accord?
Amen.
Nothing is impossible.
That's good. Amen. That's good, Ike.
Move mountains.
That's right.
Move mountains.
So I got a question for you. What is your vision for the future for our people, Ike?
Well, I don't know that. You know, I want to try and kind of share this in love, but I'm going to step on some toes, just what I do, you know. I see tremendous potential.
Amen.
Because I believe that our people have had and still has the potential of being the greatest evangelists on the planet.
Amen.
We can go talk to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Every day we talk to someone who maybe don't have a lot, and a few minutes later you may be talking to a doctor or a lawyer. I've talked to politicians. I've talked to ambassadors, worked for them.
Amen.
We have the ability, a God-given ability, to speak to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And we have a God-given ability to walk to someone's door that we've never met. And ask them for thousands, maybe hundreds of dollars, thousands, whatever. Depends on where you're at. And they give it to you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What if we turned that power to the gospel?
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
So the potential is there, but here's the thing that I see that is destroying that potential. And when I say destroying it, I mean destroying it. You talked about unity a minute ago, Bob, Bill. The greatest opposition to our people moving into the things of God in a dimension that they've never experienced before, the division has to cease.
Amen.
Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. You know, we may not agree doctrinally, but we can all agree on one thing. Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, we see one minister against the other minister. We see ministries against ministries. No, I'm not talking about just travelers. I'm talking about, you see it worldwide, but we miss some stuff. Mm-hmm. And until we can come into a place of unity, and in John chapter 13, in verse 32. Actually, in verse, let's go to 34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another.
Amen. Amen.
As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Watch this, verse 35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
This is the only place in Scripture that I can find mm-hmm. where Jesus said, this is how you'll know you're one of mine, that you love one another. That's the only way.
That's it.
That you love one another. You know, so it's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Mm-hmm. And the thing of it is this. Division is not of God.
Mm-mm.
God is not a God of division.
No.
God is a God of righteousness. Satan is the author of division.
Mm-hmm. Confusion, yeah.
That's right.
That's it.
Scripture says, where there is strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Every evil work.
Amen.
Yeah.
So if we can get past the division and come together and love one another in spite of whether we believe in speaking in tongues, we don't believe in speaking in tongues, we believe in this, we don't believe in that. Mm-hmm. Hey, great. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on a cross, that he raised again on the third day? And do you believe you must be born again? Yes, I do. Well, we can agree on that. Let's get an agreement on that.
That's it, yeah.
And then we love one another.
That's right.
We're truly born again.
That's right.
Because he says in the Scripture, you can do anything. You can feed hungry, you can burn your body.
That's right.
But without love,
it profits you nothing.
It's nothing.
That's right.
First John 3 says, know you have passed from death unto life by the love you have one for another. And I believe that's where it's at.
And I think, you know, division is one thing, but there is an origin for it. And I believe we've lost the ability to honor one another. See, you can't access what you don't honor.
Mm-hmm.
And every sin falls under the category of dishonor. Mm-hmm. First four commandments in the Ten Commandments are four commandments about honoring God. Mm-hmm. The fifth commandment is honor your mother and father. And every commandment after that is about honoring other people. So, dishonor, every sin falls under dishonor because either we're dishonoring God, we're dishonoring someone else, or we're dishonoring ourselves.
That's good. That's good.
So honor is a culture of the kingdom. And it's hard to not love someone you honor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easy to not love someone you dishonor.
Amen.
They dishonored Christ, and it says in his own hometown, it says, there he could do no mighty works.
Mm-hmm.
He had just come from a town where everybody got healed. And mm-hmm. because they dishonored him, they didn't recognize the gift. They couldn't access it. And Scripture says he could do no mighty works, except one translation says, heal a few people of minor diseases.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Right.
I think it all lays in pride, Ike, because the original sin, because when my ministry or my whatever doctrine or whatever is more important than Jesus Christ, he says, when I be lifted up,
that's right,
I'll draw all men unto me.
That's exactly
so
right.
If there's any good thing that comes out of any Christian or any ministry, it has to be because Jesus is being lifted up, not because I'm lifting myself up and wanting to be whatever, you know?
Well, we just read it last night in the men's meeting. John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he can increase. Mm-hmm. And that must be the same way in our lives.
Amen.
I was telling Bill last night, you know, every time I get up to minister, I pray. I said, Lord, let me be invisible and let them only see you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We pray
I don't
that
want
at
the
our
spotlight.
Friday night prayer.
Amen.
The two things that you just said, the one Virginia prays every time is he must increase and I must decrease.
Right.
She prays that.
That's right.
And the other one that I pray, I say, Lord, whoever's going to be ministering this week, touch the people, but let them forget who the minister was.
That's right.
And just remember that you touched them, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's about him.
It's about him.
And that's where I think division can come in, like when it ain't about him, when it's about me. Do you know what I mean?
When about my ministry?
That's it.
Well, here's the bottom line. It isn't my ministry. It isn't your ministry.
That's right.
it's his ministry.
Amen.
That's it.
We are just simply stewards of it.
That's right.
He has honored us to be stewards of his word.
Amen.
There's a great responsibility on that.
That's it.
There is.
Because we're literally, people's eternal life is, you might say,
hanging in the balance.
In our hands.
Yeah, that's a scary thought.
It is a scary thought.
It's a scary thought.
It is a very scary thought.
It's nothing to play with.
No, it is not.
Amen.
I would. Did you have something you wanted to add, Anime?
I just asked you on a personal note if you had anything that you wanted to share or something the Lord laid on your heart, you know, that you'd like to share.
Well, you know, I think we can all agree that we're living in the last days, and possibly the last of the last days.
Yeah.
And it's going to get a whole lot darker out there than it is right now.
Yep.
We haven't even scratched the surface of what's coming. And we have a generation of children that need a move of God in their life.
Amen.
They really do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's sad when we look more like the world than we do the word.
That's right. Yep.
You know, like I say, there's a generation coming up, and they need to experience. You know, Jesus demonstrated the kingdom. The woman at the well, she looked at him and said, "You're a Jew." Well, Jews and Samaritans, they didn't get along. Right. Samaritans were half Jewish, and they didn't even speak to one another, literally. So she refers to him, "You're a Jew, okay? What do you have to do with a Samaritan?" And he says, "Give me a drink." And she said, "You know, the well's deep, and you don't even have nothing to draw with." You know, she didn't recognize who he was. But once he began to open up and begin to tell her her life, in other words, once he began to demonstrate the kingdom, revival broke out. She went into the village. Jesus stayed there 3 days. She went into the village, and revival broke out in the village. Why? Because she recognized the gift and the anointing on his life.
Mm.
You know, so he demonstrated the kingdom. So, you know, we can preach people into the kingdom, or we can show them the power of the gospel.
Amen. That's good.
Amen.
That's good.
You know, Jesus did it by showing the power of the gospel. You know, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He did all these things. He prophesied. He did all of these things. And the anointing on his life as he demonstrated the kingdom, because that's what he came to do, to introduce the kingdom of God to this earth.
Amen.
And we are carriers of that kingdom. The kingdom is resident in us. We have the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. That's the agape of God. That's the unconditional love of God. And the only people on the planet that possess the love of God is the believer.
That's it.
Amen.
The world doesn't possess it. We're to demonstrate it to them.
That's good.
And as we demonstrate it to them, just like the people were drawn to him, many of them were drawn to them because of the provision, because of the food, the multiplication of food, because of the healing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really look deep into the scriptures, what drawed people to Christ was his love.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the power of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. You love people into the kingdom.
Amen.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, as long as I've ever known you, you've been involved in ministry of some kind. You've pastored churches and, like you said, did meetings with our people years ago. So you've seen all the ups and downs of ministry. What advice would you give somebody that's wanting to go into ministry? Or
know this, when you go into ministry, there's a target on your back.
Buy a crash helmet.
Buy a crash helmet. And also, when you go into ministry, you better get used to being a doormat.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But you got to be willing to lay that down.
Yeah.
For the greater cause.
That's it.
You know.
That's it.
For the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
For the kingdom.
Amen.
We give our life. We literally give, Anime, you and Charlie have given your Amen. Life to the gospel. Amen. Bill, you have given your life to the gospel. You and Tom, Martha, have given your life to the gospel.
Amen.
What does he tell us, though, in reality, which I wouldn't consider myself to even scratch the surface of it, but he says, count the cost.
That's right. Count the cost. That's
before it. You do it, count the cost. The cost. Yeah. Otherwise, the house sits on a foundation unbuilt.
You know, salvation is free.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a cost of the anointing.
Yes.
The anointing comes with a cost.
Yes.
Are you willing to pay the price?
That's it.
Amen. Praise God.
So, yes, I would say to anyone who feels a call on their life, you know, naturally when I first started in ministry, and even when I planted churches and raised them up, I felt so inadequate. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I am so inadequate in comparison. So you have to do the work.
You Amen. Know?
Because we are.
We are
inadequate.
And we're imperfect.
That's right.
We could you never
know.
Do it.
You know, we're striving many times for perfection.
That's right.
Well, perfection is unattainable because the standard God set, it is his son. Mm-hmm. If you can reach that, you can reach perfection. So many people, they kind of burn out because they're trying to be perfect. So you're trying to attain something that is unattainable in light of Christ. But we can strive for a spirit of excellence.
That's good.
Martha yeah. says that all the time. Whatever you do, do it in excellence.
Do it with excellence. You know.
That's it.
And what's our hope? You know the scripture. I can do all things.
Through Christ who strengthens me. That's right.
That's it.
But I believe that God is going to raise up young men and women to do powerful things in the Amen. Kingdom of God amongst our people. I Amen. Do. It's not over yet.
No, that's right.
God saved the best for last.
That's it.
Amen.
At the wedding
that's
in
good.
Cana, he saved the best wine for
that's
last.
It. That's good.
Amen.
That's
and
it.
In these last days, we're going to see the greatest outpouring of God's Spirit in the history of humanity.
Amen.
I pray Amen. That I'm alive to be part of it. Amen. But if we're not, we better raise up a generation that is.
Amen.
That's good.
Yeah.
Amen.
God.
Yeah, that's good.
We really better do.
Do you have anything Amen. Else you want to add, Bill? Or?
I've been blessed tonight. I've known Ike since he was a child.
Since he was a wee Wayne.
Since he was a Wayne. So praise God, he's blessed me in my life many, many times.
You also have blessed me.
And Amen. He told the woman at the well that he was the Christ. Mm-hmm. He told her, very few people that's he right. ever told, but he told her, I am him.
Well, I'm going to probably get myself in trouble right now, but why not? I always do.
You got the microphone.
She was the first evangelist, a woman. She was the first one to preach the gospel. Yeah. She went into the village, preached the gospel, and brought them back to Christ.
There you go.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
And it was a revival.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
You mean there's place for women? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, used a donkey, so.
Hey, listen, the first one who came from the tomb was a woman and preached the gospel to the disciples.
And they didn't believe her at first. They didn't accept it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God. Well, we want to thank you for coming on and taking time out of your night. We know you're busy. And we appreciate you for your prayers.
I'm never that busy for the word.
Amen.
You know, the thing of it is as you know, Anime, being pastoring churches and stuff, you have to lay your life down for the sheep. There's been times that you probably didn't feel like coming to church. There was times you probably didn't feel well. There was times you had other things going on with your family. But you came because you lay your life down for the sheep. Christ laid his life down for the sheep, and that is an example for us as pastors to lay our lives down for the sheep.
Amen. That's good, Hank. That's good.
Amen.
Well, we sure want to thank you. You blessed us, and tonight your testimony blessed us, and just thank you very much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for asking.
Thank you, Ike. We appreciate you and love you.
Love you too.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. We hope you enjoyed it and was encouraged. Please follow us on Spotify for new episodes every week. If you download the Spotify app, which is free, it makes it much easier to find us. We'll be posting the link each week on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may you grow in His Word and Spirit. God bless.